On this International Day of People with Disability, we're looking at how we can build a more inclusive Australia. And we'd love to hear your suggestions. Is it just about the physical structures, our attitudes, maybe funding and support, or listening better? Head to our Facebook page and tell us your ideas, because they will be as diverse as the people who listen to our program, I think. It's a good day to ask, where did the word disability come from and what does it really mean? It's a word that often sparks debate. Some choose to avoid it, while others it evokes pride for. Often people use euphemisms like differently abled or special needs, and others continue to advocate for people to just say the word. Is there a better term, or does it come down to personal preference? For Eliza Hull, the word disability ignites pride, identity, and community. Here, she asks some others what they think about it.
I didn't grow up disabled. Even though at the age of 5, I was diagnosed with Charcot-Marie-Tooth, which affects my nervous system and means I walk differently, fall over regularly, and have low muscle tone. For a long time, I didn't want to call myself disabled. You can't be what you can't see, and I often wonder how much easier life could have been when I was growing up if I had have seen people like me on TV or in magazines. I now identify as a proud disabled woman, but I know a lot of people who see the word disability differently. In my experience, the people who have the biggest problem with the label disabled are actually non-disabled people. So what does it mean for other people? The first person I spoke to about their experience with identifying with the word disability is Amanda from Melbourne.
Hi, my name's Amanda Laurie-Jones.
Amanda has scleroderma, an autoimmune condition, which is an invisible disability. This condition created skin ulcers and repeated cancers in her feet, which led her to have both her legs amputated.
So it shifted from, you know, a reasonably invisible disability to a sharply visible disability without having legs and getting those amputated.
What was that like from going from having an invisible disability to a very visible disability?
Yeah, interesting. I think the transition from invisible to visible was probably, oddly for me to say, a good experience in my own head or in my own lifestyle is how I would put it. I mean, I was in incredible pain from all of these ulcers, infections, those sorts of things. Like, I did not have a good quality of life. I was in and out of hospital constantly, back and forth to specialists. It just became, and it was surgery after surgery after surgery. So after I eliminated that issue, surprisingly, I felt much more liberated.
Have you always identified as a person with a disability?
I think from a long time, it was more that I was a person with scleroderma rather than identifying as a person with disability. It did take me a very, very long time to accept and understand that disability meant barriers in the world. I would say probably only in the last 15 or so years have I been comfortable as in identifying as a person with disability. Prior to that, I would have stayed away from that type of language or that type of experience within my world.
And why is that?
I honestly think the reason behind that is solely because of exposure. I was probably not in a world of other people with disability around me, and it wasn't until I actually had my leg amputated where that kind of forced me to be around people with a lot more of a severe, barriers into society, and it made me get a different perspective, I think, on what disability actually meant.
When Amanda began to identify as a person with a disability, she had to deal with people's perceptions of her new identity.
Disability is quite unknown unless you've had exposure to people around you with disability. So I think that is that fear. If they haven't come across it before, they don't know how to talk about it. They don't know how to deal with it. They're scared of doing or saying the wrong thing. I think there is that, you know, that stigma that still lies around in regards to you know, the word disabled. If they say disabled, are they going to say the wrong thing? If they say disability, are they going to say the wrong thing? So I think people are still really at that fear factor stage. I don't think we're there yet in society for it to become part of the normal language.
How has the word disability or disabled given you a sense of identity?
Yeah, look, I think the way that I use the word disability, I suppose, has become empowering to me just for the simple fact that it highlights to my friends, to my family, and to the people around me how I talk about it, that there are barriers in my world. And so they've now come on board as kind of advocates for me, and they'll always be picking up and saying, oh my God, I went to the park the other day and I saw X, Y, Z that wasn't accessible and I thought of you and I'm going to do something about it. So I think from my perspective, the way that I identify as a person with disability is that sense of empowerment that now gives a broader advocacy around with my family, friends and work colleagues.
And would you say you're proud of having a disability? Do you have that sense of pride?
I definitely am a proud person with disability, without a doubt. I think that people don't realise that sometimes it can really shape you as a human being. I just think, you know, despite, you know, some of the challenges that I've had in life, I think, you know, being a person with disability has actually enabled extra advantages in life.
But Amanda believes we still have a long way to go as people continue to use euphemisms instead of the word disability.
I feel that people with disability are always othered, like they're put into a separate basket. And if, again, you're saying that you're differently abled or disability, that, again, that you're othering them and putting them aside to a different category. I think disability is a different word. I think it enables or empowers a person with disability, whereas I think the different ability and the diffability segregates you a little bit more. I will say I've had the experience myself where, you know, there's been specific, you know, more so work colleagues than friends that, you know, kind of say that, oh, but you have so much ability, you don't actually have disability. And it's like, sorry, that is part of who I am. It is part of that I experience barriers in life. That is how I want to explain disability to people. It's not about that, you know, from the perspective that I have all of these abilities. It's about that society disables a lot of the things that I can and can't do. So it has a sense of control, and yet therefore it's such a powerful word not to take it away from me.
I'm now talking to Caitlin from her home in Melbourne.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Sayer, and I identify as someone with intellectual disability.
Caitlin, when did you first know that you had a disability?
Probably when I was younger. I knew I was different from everyone else and kind of grew up finding out I had a disability. I just noticed that I was not having as many friends as most people without a disability would, and it just kind of clicked that it was something there. And I asked my parents and they kind of explained it to me a bit better.
And how did they explain it to you?
They explained it as when I was born a bit different.
And so when did you first identify with the word disabled?
I identified with it quite young. I think I was in year 6, year 7. And I identified with it and still run with it. Like, I still do campaigns to include people with disability.
Caitlin felt comfortable with the word disabled early on in her childhood, yet her teachers at her school never used the word and made her feel segregated by placing her in the back of the classroom.
Our sight, our mind. I had a different lesson plan. I know she didn't want to say the word, but, like, you could see it plastered on her face. This was in about grade 5, so I knew I had a disability. I wish they would have called it out and said it to the class. instead of like pretending it was not there.
This lack of language around disability has often caused Caitlin to feel excluded. What words have people used instead of using disabled when referring to your disability?
Cripple. I've had that a fair bit. You get cripple a lot. You get spastic a lot.
How does that make you feel when those words are used instead of disabled?
Upset a lot, because like you just don't feel like you're a person when you hear those words, compared to like disabled, where you can turn it around and be like, yeah, I've got a disability, so what? This is who I am.
Yeah, absolutely. Have people ever been hesitant to use the word disabled around you?
Oh, yes. Yes. They have got friends that very much still to this day won't say that word. I have to keep saying to them, it's okay to say it. I know it's there and it's not going to change. It's who I am.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think people are still afraid of the word?
I think for me, and probably for everyone, if it was more representation, maybe people would understand disability is not a bad thing.
Caitlin continues to try and change people's perceptions about disability.
I see myself as an advocate for disability because someone has to stand up and change the perspective of everyone's view. If people started using the term disability more freely and like understood the term, it would be a better place.
I'm now speaking to theatre maker and performer Madeline from her home in Brisbane.
Hi, my name is Madeline Little and I am a disabled woman based in Brisbane on the lands of the Yuggera and Turrbal people.
Have you always identified as a person with a disability?
In childhood, I identified as living with a physical impairment, and in my youth that was really important to quite awfully differentiate myself from other people with worse disabilities, I guess, so that people would be nicer to me or think more of me, which is so ableist and awful in retrospect, but I was a child. And then as I grew up, I identified as living with disability or as a person with disability up until about 20 or 21, when I was introduced to the social model of disability and some fabulous disabled artists and activists out there. And that's when I slowly started getting more comfortable with the word disabled, and now I use it proudly to identify.
So you said, you know, it took a bit of time to identify with the word. Why do you think that is? Where do you think that kind of comes from?
I think growing up around predominantly able people who may have felt, you know, pity towards me or subconsciously thought that I was less than them because I wouldn't be able to walk as they do or move or jump or run or whatever. I had definitely taken that on board. And so it took a lot of time for me to really retrain my brain and actively retrain my brain that disabled isn't a bad thing. I am disabled by the barriers that I face in society, and that's more of a fact than anything. And so I had to reach a place of, I guess, neutrality around disability before I could then become more comfortable and embrace disability pride, I guess.
What does the word disabled or disability mean to you now?
It flips between being very factual, I am disabled by, you know, the stairs or the inaccessible building or the distance that I'm forced to walk or what have you. That's a very factual thing, but I think when I proudly identify as a disabled woman and I enter a room full of other proudly disabled people, it's almost like disability becomes safety. It becomes respect and trust and comfort and this shared experience that is so diverse across everyone and all the different backgrounds that each of us have. But it's all like tied in with this shared experience. You know, anyone who is disabled will have experienced oppression in one way or another, will have experienced issues with access. And so proudly identifying as disabled among other proudly disabled people means being able to say my access requirements weren't respected and just have them instantly understand what that means. There's a weight off my shoulders because I don't have to explain or justify my existence to anyone. I can just exist.
How has the word, I guess, given you a sense of identity, evolved your identity?
It's allowed me to slowly stop apologizing for my existence and start reclaiming my time and my space and my right to be here. It's meant that it's a lot easier. I'm still not perfect at it, but it's a lot easier for me to walk into a, you know, performance workshop and identify I need a chair, and to not instantly apologize for being a burden on the person running the workshop for having this access request. It's meant that if there are stairs at this restaurant that a friend has booked, I no longer feel like it's my fault that we can't eat at this restaurant, because it's not. It's society's, you know, society has built itself based upon this abled norm, and that's not on me to fix or to change. It's not my fault that I've been excluded. And the word disabled, being able to put that at the forefront and say, no, actually, I am disabled and that's okay, means it's not my responsibility to make you feel better about me being here.
I'm Eliza Hull, reporting for Radio National. Thank you to Edwina Stott for production assistance.
Eliza's story is part of a special series we've been sharing with you this week. If you missed any of them, you can catch up on the Life Matters website.